Good evening. Good evening.
Hello. Hi, Pastor.
How are you?
Good, sir. How are you?
I'm wonderful, Sister Marone. Good to hear your voice.
I'm glad to be here. Good to hear your voice, too.
Oh, thank you. How's your week going?
It's going good. It's been a... interesting week, but in a good way, up and down, up and down. So I can't complain.
It's been up and down, up and down.
Yes, sir.
You mean emotionally, spiritually, psychologically? How do you mean?
Yeah, it's more like just seeing the family, my closest family, just going through like struggle time. So,
oh, God.
It's just definitely it's sad. As sad it is, at the same time, it just shows me like God's real and He have hope for everybody. So I just helped me to lean on God more. So it's definitely those kind of faith that like, okay, only God can help, you know.
Some things only God can fix, because we want to fix it. Sometimes we even have the tools to fix it. But the problem is, change can only happen on the inside of a person. And so you can temporarily get something out of people that looks like a fix. But it's not really a fix. What it is sort of kind of a temporary Band-Aid.
Yeah, yes.
I'm sure you've seen that before. It's like a temporary, you say something to a person, all of a sudden their spirit is high. They're like, oh, I'm okay now. And then three days later, they're going, you know, they're back to the same thing. You're going, well, but you were okay. I thought you understood. And they kind of go, right? And so, because change can only happen internally. Influence can happen externally. So we influence change, but we can't change anybody.
Yeah, definitely, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Does the family go to church?
In and out, for sure.
Mm-hmm. So they may not be taking God as seriously as you do. Is that what you're saying?
I don't know. I haven't quietly asked or that yet. I know. You know, like in the beginning, it's hard to understand the Bible or God's will and His plan. So I feel like different stage of maybe understanding, but they really does want to follow God. It just it's definitely in the beginning. You know, it's how challenging it was. I remember even for me, it was like I was very it was very challenging. Like, I don't want to understand. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, it's hard to know until the Holy Spirit guided me. So I feel like maybe that stage, but I could be wrong.
You're probably right, because if there's sincerity there, then it's real. And if there's no prosperity there, then it's knowledge is the issue. Mm-hmm. What I don't know yet, what I don't understand, what I haven't gotten as a revelation from the Word. So that's a really good evaluation, Marone. Very good evaluation. And now that you have that evaluation, that also is God's way of teaching you how to bring them along, because you begin to recognize what phase they're in. And that's why, and that's why I think when we first come into the kingdom, we're reading, we don't understand it. So, and I think that's purposeful from God. In fact, I know it is. And the reason that it's purposeful is because as you begin to understand, you also begin to mature. And then as you mature to a certain level, you begin to realize what people don't understand.
Yes, sir.
And yes, so you kind of, so it kind of helps you to know what to talk to them about, because you know what helped you. So pay attention to how you got where you got, and then get them on the road and they'll find you. Praise the Lord. God bless you, Brother DeJuan.
Hey,
how are you?
I'm good. How are you? I'm good. Pastor, how are you?
Oh, I'm excited. I'm excited about tonight. I hope everybody shows up, because we all had an assignment last week. And I'm hoping and praying we've all done our assignment. Did you get your assignment done?
I kind of forgot my word, Pastor, so I didn't get mine done yet. Yeah.
Oh, you forgot the fruit of the Spirit that you were supposed to work on?
Yeah, I did, Pastor. Sorry about that.
Yeah, yours was meekness.
Meekness. Yeah.
Yeah, meekness. Yeah.
Meekness.
Yep. So while people are coming in, you got a little time. You might want to go search Google. Get your Google search on. Pardon me? You got some time. We'll have you to go last. So do some research. The pressure is not off, right? The pressure is on. Glory to God, right? Hey, Sister Hawanda, God bless you.
Greetings, Apostle. Greetings, family.
Yeah, amen.
Hi, welcome.
Amen. Amen. Sister Hawanda, how's your week going?
I won't complain.
Okay. Okay.
Hallelujah.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. But it also sounds like you don't have anything to testify about either.
Well, Yah is good all the time.
Yeah,
all the time. So,
hallelujah.
Even in the midst, I'm saying, show me me. You know, it also it just goes with the assignment. Just a, like you said, a short testimony, and it lines up with my word, faith, because I feel like he'll spend a block on us, you know, and he do everything on purpose, with purpose, because it was my word. The situation with KJ and finances came back up, and it was all coming through my daughter, you know, and that blessed me with the grandson. And she's saying, oh, I think you should just give him all of his check. And then if you want to see him prosper and this and that, you know. And, you know, I was paying attention to how that was affecting me physically, like how it was landing in my body. You know what I'm saying? So, and also being mindful and intentional, because, you know, I was, you know, feel like I had thought I had worked through that, you know, but it'll just come back around, you know. So I found that, you know, there was something there, some agitation, you know, and just really focusing on not blaming her, like addressing me, like, hey, what is it? What is it? In there, you know, and it's just her opinion. So just being okay with her sharing her opinion, although it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter in the way that I move according to the situation, because I know that I'm doing what's best for me and also what's best for him, even if she don't understand from her perspective.
Yeah, very good. May I broach that subject for a minute?
Yes, please.
So two things. One, and I was talking to someone about this today, and they were talking about how when they had gone to, you know, their hometown, the place that they were raised and born at, family members, so forth and so on, how they felt so bad all the time. And then when God released them from that assignment and sent them to another city, now the place that they work at, the people were constantly telling them how wonderful they are and bringing flowers and stuff and saying, God, I don't know how we survived without you for so long, and so forth and so on. And so they said, you know, and then they got offered another job, and the other job pays more money, but they were asking me, you know, is the money that important? And I said, what price do you put on joy?
Right.
And they said, oh, right. Because getting $5 more per hour may add up to, you know,
it may cost you your peace, your joy, like you saying. Wow, yes.
So you're in the presence of some people who can see you, who exalt you. They honor the work and the efforts you put in. So you'll end up working as unto the Lord. You go to the next place, you end up working as unto a paycheck. And it feels different. It's less exciting. You don't have that. I want to look. So I'm saying all that to say, when they say, well, what do you why did I feel that way in the other place? And I said, because you were being a reflection of how people saw you. You weren't being you. When you're around people you don't know, they don't have those thoughts about you. They don't have that imagery in their head about, gosh, you should be so much further along by now. You know, they don't talk to you in this with that same undertone. When you're around people that you don't know, they're not talking with that undertone because they're getting to experience and learn you. And so a lot of times we are, if we're not careful, we are the sum total of what other people are thinking. And we can make ourselves the sum total of that, so they can say a thing and that thing starts impacting us, because not because of what they said, but because we know what they think.
Right, absolutely. The way they think about it, I think that's what affects that I had to evaluate and allow that to be her opinion. Also, it like you said, it exposes how she thinks about me in this situation, which I was also wanting to offer to, like, hey, would you be willing to sit down for wise counsel on this situation, you know, and which I talking about, you know, sitting down with you in this situation, because she's only 22 and she, oh, and I'll never do this to my son and this and that. Like, you know, I'm like, oh my goodness, you know, it's just, you know, mind boggling. And however, it's just standing in my power. And yeah, allowing her opinion to be hers in that situation, because not saying that, hey, she can't be right in situations, and not making her right or wrong, but just, you know, knowing spiritual, you know, I know I'd have prayed about this situation and, you know, have his best interests at heart. So still being open, even though she don't understand, you know. So she just,
praise the Lord. Give me 1 second. God bless you. Who just joined?
Nicole.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Oh, pretty good. And yourself?
Oh, blessed. Highly favored.
Yes.
Also dealing with anxiety, dealing with frustration, dealing with all those different things, but knowing how to bucket them and push them to the side.
Come on, study.
This is life study, Bible study, not children's study. All of those things are real, but you have to know when to bucket them. You have to know how to put them in. That's what you were just saying. I put it in a bucket.
Absolutely.
And I recognize that person is entitled to their opinion. That's the bucket. They're wrong about their opinion. That's the other side of the bucket. I'm still who I am, and I'm doing the right things for my child. There you go. You're in the bucket now. We're good. You can think what you want, feel how you want, so forth and so on, but you don't understand the bucket that I'm in. You only understand the bucket that you're in and where you're seeing from. You know, if you climbed a mountain that was, you know, 20,000 feet tall, what you see when you look down is different from somebody that's standing on top of a car.
Yes,
yeah.
Sir.
Come
Amen.
Woo. Yeah. Hallelujah. Yep. And so don't tell me when it's time to jump and you on a car and I'm on a mountain. I have to know when it's time to jump, because I'm the one seeing it from this viewpoint.
Right?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So putting things in the bucket, keep it in the bucket. It's all right. Amen. So we had, it's 5:46, we're going to have prayer. And I think that some people probably didn't rush to show up tonight because they had assignments. That was kind of what I feared about doing that, but that's okay. God's got a way of using even that to bring them to another level. So yeah. I'm going to ask Sister Marone, can you open us up in prayer tonight?
Yes, sir. Yes. Dear God, thank you so much for this opportunity you've given to us to come together to glorify your name. And then, like you said, two of you come together by my name, the Holy Spirit will guide us. So I'm asking the Holy Spirit to come to this Bible study, to open our mind, our heart, our soul, so we can understand you more than we understand ourselves and more than we understand life, because without you, there's no life. God, I pray that who's not here yet, I pray that you can guide them to come and learn, or even help them to know you are there no matter what, so you can help them to understand your will, your plan, your purpose, no matter what. God, thank you so much for your presence. Thank you so much for your love. Thank you so much for being such a patient, good God. Thank you so much for your presence, Holy Spirit. Thank you so much. We cannot do this life without you. Without your voice, guidance, and knowledge. So I keep asking you to pour your spirit on us so we can know you more, we can grow and learn and love one another no matter what. Thank you so much for this love, for this life, this breath you give it to us. So with everything you give to us, what we want to do is we want to glorify you. So you please pour out your presence on us so we can learn more about you, so we can love one another like you love us.
Yeah.
I pray for you. Thanks in your son Jesus Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit. We were in the 5th chapter of Galatians. We're going to go forward into the 6th chapter of Galatians. But the reason that I think the Lord had me to hand out these assignments is because of what Galatians 6:1 says.
Okay.
Galatians 6:1, and I want to read it. It says, brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, but consider yourself lest you also end up tempted.
Woo. I'm sorry. I was trying to catch you before you started reading. You said Galatians, what was it?
We're in Galatians, the 5th and the 6th chapter. Let's put it that way. Yep, and I read 6:1 because I think it's very powerful. I think it's very important. I think it's very potent. Powerful, important, and potent. And the reason why is because we were talking about the fruits of the Spirit last week, and it is the fruits of the Spirit that brings people into maturity in Christ. And if we don't understand what those fruits are, how they function, what they do, then sometimes we have people, as Sister Marone was sharing, sometimes we can have people around us that may have a sincerity about life, but don't have enough knowledge to get to what God is trying to take them. And so he gives us these tools to help provoke them and encourage them, and then also pull them along until you see that they refuse to go. That's what 6:1 says. And it becomes a temptation to you and a problem on you. Now it's time to let them go for a while.
Yes.
Amen. Everybody get it?
Yes, sir.
And so those, there are always times when that happens, but we're commanded in 6:1, and I'll read it again. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, meaning even drinking, drugs, right? If a person is overtaken, but watch what he's saying. I want you to catch this word, it's very important. Ye which are spiritual, restore. Somebody say, tell me what restore means.
Restore, like to I don't know how to say it, like I see it. Restore. Basically, like to refill you. Is it like
to say that again? Uh-huh.
To like refill you?
Like to refuel, refill. To repair, okay. To rebuild, okay. Right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
To re-encourage. Hmm. But the very word, so what does the prefix re mean?
To do again.
Do it over.
So they have to have been something in order to restore something.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So he's saying, you know that they've already been it,
yes.
In order to go in and try to pull them out of what's overtaken them. Because things mm-hmm. do overtake you. You can get frustrated to the point that you stop being spiritual. Mm-hmm. You can get anxiety to the point that you stop being spiritual. Mm-hmm. You can be, in fact, you can be so good to people mm-hmm. that your goodness turns out to be the iron that ran you over.
Yes, sir.
And you don't want to do it no more. You ain't studying this because every time I help people, they hurt me. Every time I help them, they hurt me. Every time I help them, they hurt me. And so now I'm just plain frustrated, and that's what he's talking about. Make sure they were something before you go back to try to bring them into something.
Right. Exactly.
Does that make sense? So yes. someone is coming to church every week and they're trying hard and they're putting in effort and something happens, they get overtaken with some mistake, then it's our responsibility to go and try to bring them back into that relationship through yes. these gifts and fruits of the Spirit. Got it?
Yes.
And so, but if they've never been in church, I can't restore what's not there to restore. I can plant seed, I can try to help them to come to something, but I have to know the difference between restoring someone and trying to get someone that's completely unhinged to become hinged. There's a big difference. Big difference.
Yeah.
If they've been chaotic all their life and never been peaceful, it's really hard to get them to become peaceful when chaos has become the way of life for them. But when someone has learned peace and something happens and they become chaotic, I can bring them back to peace.
Yes.
I can remind them, remember when you used to do this and how you did that, and remember how much effort you were putting in and how you were working so hard and diligently towards God, mm-hmm. and so forth and so on. Now I can draw them back. Got it?
Yeah.
But if they ain't never been there, I'm not drawing them back into anything. I am encouraging them to move forward to something new, and that's a lot more difficult. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. But the gifts, the fruits of the Spirit, verse 22, chapter 5, verse 22, these are the tools of restoration. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against that there'll be no law that works against you. Praise the Lord. Nothing working against you. So I think we gave Sister Marone, I think we gave you the spirit of love.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what you researched and what you came up with?
Yes, sir. Yeah. So I have agape love. So agape mm-hmm. love is the highest form of love. Agape love describes the love of agape love describes the love that is of it from God, whose nature is love itself. God is love. 1 John 4 verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because Hallelujah. God is love. God loves because, amen. God loves because that is his nature in the expression of his being. God's love is always shown by what he does. God's love is displayed most clearly at the cross. God demonstrates his love, his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 5 verse 8 says, and then John 3 verse 1 says, see what kind of love the Father has given to us, that we should be called children of God, and so we are. The reason why the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Mm-hmm. We are to love others with agape love, whether they are believers like us or not. John 13, verse 34 says, a new commandment I gave to you, that you love one another just as I have loved you. You also are to love one another. Then Matthew 5, verse 44 says, that I say unto you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So agape love does not come naturally to us by ourselves only. We are incapable of producing such a love. If we are to love as God loves us, like love that agape love can only come from its source. This is the love that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us. When we become his children, because of God's love toward us, we are able to love one another. So that's what I found so far.
Oh, that was good. And I want to start with that, because we're going to discuss this topic tonight, family, because Amen. I think there's some things, and I may have even in my desire to help get the word in people, I don't think we've spent enough time discerning the word. And so we want to break this down tonight and make something from it, right? It is a recipe for success that God has tried to give us through the Bible. It's a recipe for success, not failure.
Amen.
So if we don't get the recipe, we never make the cake. We never make the meal. We never let it mature. We never let it become what it is, because we didn't understand the recipe. We just understood that there was something there. We want to get everything out of the word. Is that all right?
Amen.
Amen. So she said this. Agape love is the highest form of love. That's what she just read to us. It is the highest form of love. Then she went on to explain how in 1 John, the Bible says God is love. And what's the rest of it? If you have not yet loved, you do not yet love, know God. Is that how that goes?
Oh, yeah. John, first verse four, verse 8 says, anyone who does not know anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Mm-hmm. And then the other thing you said was the part of God that is poured into us is what agape is. And yes, and I love that. I love that. And I want to open that up for conversation tonight, because most people, if you really think of what love is, you can't think of what love is. let me try that again, because it sounds sort of kind of like an oxymoron, right? It sounds like the two things don't fit, but they do. If you know what love is, you probably don't know what love is. And this is why, because the Bible identifies seven types of love. Seven. You should write them down. Seven types of love in the Bible specifically. Got it?
Mm-hmm.
You should write it down, though. You really should write it down, because you'll forget it or Satan will steal it. You don't want this stolen from you tonight.
What was it, Pastor?
Seven types of love identified in the Bible. Got it?
Seven types of love identified in the Bible.
Mm-hmm. And if you got something to write with, please write these down. Some of the people here have heard this before, so they'll know. But if you haven't heard this before, it is a mind-blowing, mind-opening awareness of God and the spirituality and our carnality, the difference between agape and all these other types of love. And that's why I said if you know how to love, you probably don't know what love is. Because most of the love that we consider love, for instance, love is so, it's grouped up into one word, right? I love that. I love him. I love her. I love my kids. But that doesn't make sense, because they have to be different types of love. They can't be the same love, because if it is, then it's all just an emotional connection with no boundaries. Let me try it again. If it's just a feeling, then it's an emotional connection to something with no boundary around it, and therefore it's going to eventually become confusing, chaotic, or destructive.
Amen.
It will become confusing in this sense. So I love this person. I don't know why they act like they act. They don't treat me right, so forth and so on. You walk away confused. I don't know why this is happening to us. Confusing. I love this person. They don't do any of the right things that they ought to do. I'm the one carrying all the burden. I'm the one taking care of the kids. The kids won't clean the room. They won't do this. They won't do that. Chaotic. Oh, I was so in love with that person, and then they hurt me, and I had to leave, and so forth and so on. Destructive. Confusing, chaotic, or destructive, because it's an emotional connection with no boundaries and no understanding of what the word love actually means. Does that make any sense to anybody?
Yes, sir.
So I'm going to give you these different types of love that are listed in the Bible. One of the loves is called storge, S-T-O-R-G, storge, you could say storge. S-T-O-R-G, I suggest you look it up and do a little bit of research on it. Okay, everybody got it?
He says storage what?
Storge or storage, S-T-O-R-G-E.
Okay.
Got it?
Yeah.
Next type of love is called pragma. Pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A. I'll explain what they mean in a minute, but you should write them down, and then next to the words, you're going to write down what they mean. All right, next type of love. Filio or filios, P-H-I-L-E-O, filio. Got it?
Yes.
Another type of love, xenia, X-E-N-I-A. Got them?
Mm-hmm.
Next type of love, philautia, P Philautia. Philautia.
Wait, Philautia.
Philautia. Got it?
Yeah.
Okay, next one is going to be Eros, E-R-O-S, Eros. Mm-hmm. Then I'm gonna give you another one, Pragma, P-R-A-G-M-A. Got that?
Mm-hmm.
All right, I want to make sure you write these down, okay? And then there is agape, A-G-A-P-E, agape, the highest form of love. Doing good? Everybody got them?
Yes, sir.
Yes. Okay, what's the first one I gave you?
Storge.
That means love for the family, a mother and her children. Something unique happens when a mother births a child or a woman births a child. It hurts, it's painful, and my God, she might slap the doctor. And her body is expanding and she's travailing, as the Bible calls it. And then all of a sudden the baby comes out, all of the body begins to reduce itself, and there's this overwhelming love that shows up for that child. A love so deeply ingrained and emotionally connected, it's almost like the umbilical cord. I can't live without the child won't live without me.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody listening?
Yes, sir.
Because the umbilical cord gets cut from the inside. But if a person is mentally healthy, it never gets cut on the outside. That's why so many women will die for their kids. That's why a kid can go out and literally he could be tearing up the community. He comes home, mama says, what do you want for dinner? Daddy says, get out, you don't live here. Mom's love is that deep and that enriched, that emotionally connected. Storge, family love. Got it?
Yes.
All right.
Family.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It is it and going back to that, but it has to have boundaries. Because if it doesn't have boundaries, it will turn into chaos.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It'll turn into destruction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And it can literally destroy the mother.
Mm-hmm.
Because she's so connected to those kids and everything they do wrong, she's feeling it and she's trying so hard to protect what she should have put a boundary around.
She never realized. Oh, Jesus. I've just been going through this, Lord Jesus. Right? I'm praying on it. Yes.
We're going to get there in a minute. Give me a sec. So we got story and family love. Pragma, that's an enduring love. That is supposed to be what happens when a man and a woman gets married. It's supposed to become, and pragma is the root word of the word pragmatic, which means the love between a man and a woman can start off with a whole lot of emotional connection, but at some point it's got to get intellectual in the partnership.
So you said enduring love and that's
pragma. It was a love that's meant to endure, like how Jesus loves us. The Bible says that if we make our bed in hell, he will not leave us. And I'll be with you even until the end of time. That's what he said. That's a pragmatic love. He's saying, I get that you go fall. I get you go get up. I get you go through. I get you go come out. I get you go walk through the valley of the shadow of death. But I also get you go hit some mountaintops with me. But I'm still with you.
Yes.
And that is the way a marriage is supposed to be. it's supposed to know, look, we're going to go through some things. You're going to have some valleys. You're going to have some peaks. You're going to have some trials. You're going to have some tribulations. But when we got married, we became one flesh. That's what the Bible says. And the two become one. I mean, who deserts themselves? So if I'm one flesh with someone, I can't desert that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's pragma, enduring love. Next one I said was filios, right?
Well, filios. Yes.
That's filios. Brotherly love, right? So all of us have had some friendships, some people we grew up with. Sometimes we make people we grew up with friendships and they really weren't supposed to be. People that we went to school with that should have been classmates, we turned them into friends. Mm-hmm. And then we get hurt a lot because the friend doesn't act like a friend because we took classmate and reinterpreted it to an emotional connection to something that God never set forth as an emotional connection. You did it.
Ooh. Come on.
Are we listening? Filial.
Yes.
Brotherly love. Now, then I gave you xenia. Right? Mm-hmm. Hospitality love. You know how some people are just social? They just have to be at some event. They have to be engaged with community. They have to be engaged with people. They have to have a bunch of people coming over to the house all the time. And some people can't stand it because they don't have that xenia living inside of them. And so you put two people together, and one has that social part, and the other one has that antisocial part. And they don't have the pragma, enduring love part, it'll break up the family.
Right.
Your girlfriend's always coming over, man. They just ask, do they have to be over here so much? But they're my girlfriends. You don't understand. We've been through so much. Yeah, but I ain't been through that with them. Right. So why do I have to? Are we getting this?
Yes, sir. Yes.
So there's xenia, hospitality, philautia, self-love. There's two types of philautia. There's a healthy philautia, a healthy self-love, where I'm not harming myself. I'm not sending myself through a lot of problems. I'm not allowing a lot of other people to send me through too many problems. That's a healthy self-love. When I become egotistical and I think the world revolves around me, that's an unhealthy self-love. It's unhealthy. I'm so far out front on everything, I haven't even had the time to process the thing through some of the other gateways of my mind to make sure that I'm doing it right. I'm just out there. And then when people call me out for being out there, I'm injured from it. Chaos. Chaos. Doing good?
Yes.
All right. And then I gave you another one. What was the other one?
Eros.
Eros. That is the mistaken love that everybody thinks is love. That is the mistake. So Eros means attraction. Love based on an attraction to somebody. But it's not love based on any pragmaticness. It's not love based on storge. This is family. It's not based on any of those other things, and it's certainly not based on agape. And so what ends up happening with Eros is I see someone, I feel attracted to that someone, I get involved with that someone, 2 years later I can't stand that someone, I wish that someone would go somewhere, and I wish that they would go somewhere soon, because they really hit nerves every time I see them, because I was really just attracted and didn't know the difference between attraction and love, because it's just an emotional connection that I didn't know how to put the right boundaries around. Yeah. We kind of grow into that later in life because we're a little bit more careful about who we connect to and try to make a relationship with. But when it's early in life, we do it like so fast, we with somebody every 2, 3, 4, 5 months. And didn't realize it was just attraction. It was not something that God was sending us forward to do. It was something that God was alerting us that this might be good for you. And we were supposed to walk into that slowly, cautiously, and morally. Slowly, cautiously, and morally. And what I mean by that is that what God is trying to teach us is that as the people of God, you should never invest your emotions in anything for a year or so. I should never emotionally invest myself in a female counterpart until I've been able to observe them. I don't mean I shouldn't go to dinner with them. I don't mean I shouldn't go to a movie. It doesn't mean I shouldn't go to a ballpark and watch a game with them. Doesn't mean I shouldn't kiss and hug. But I should not be investing my emotional part until after I've seen them go through some horrors. When I see them lose a loved one, I start seeing the real person, because it takes about a year when you've been around somebody before they get comfortable enough to take their masks off.
Oh.
Are we listening?
Yes.
Our topic tonight is love, right? Our topic tonight is the spirit of love. What is it? Right? The spirit of love. And so I should not be investing my emotions, because then when the person disappoints, I now know it's just a disappointment. I can move on, but I don't get the chaos. I don't get the pain, because my emotion never got invested. I stayed pragma, practical. Does that make sense?
Yes.
All
right. And so now let's talk about this other one, agape.
Wait a minute. Mm-hmm. Did I miss something?
I don't know.
So I thought we were still on six.
Okay, what was number six?
Second love. Eros.
Eros, yeah. That's the love of attraction. Now, that's what we were just talking about. You can be so attracted to someone. You know how people go, oh, I couldn't even eat. I'm so busy thinking about you. That's attraction. That's not love. Does that break it down simply? That's attraction. Yeah. It's not love. It's an it's like a magnet and a piece of metal.
Yeah.
They're just attracted to each other, but they don't love each other.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Sir.
Okay.
So I thought it was another one before the eight agape love.
Uh-huh. There's philios. We've got that right. We got xenia. It's actually eight I gave you.
Right. P-R-A-G-M-A.
Pragma.
You did that one? Pragma?
Mm-hmm.
That's all the way at the top.
Right. That's enduring love. Mm-mm.
That
was enduring love. I actually gave you eight, I believe.
Well, I got pragma twice then, for some reason.
I only got seven.
Okay, so yeah, that would be, so a agape love is seven then. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's all right. So agape is exactly as, and I thank you, Sister Marone, for doing the homework. Because agape love, most of us don't have until God pours it in it. Right. Well, let me change that. May I for a second, Sister Hawanda?
Yes, sir.
Because when we say the word unconditional love, that is God's love for the sinner.
Okay.
But once we stop sinning, or once we turn ourselves over, it changes from an unconditional love to a conditional love. Why would I say that? Because Jesus said, if you love me, St. John, the 14th chapter, the 24th verse, you'll keep my commandments. That's now a condition.
Right. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
So it's now a condition. If you love me, you'll now do what I ask, because you now have been, you have received agape, and the agape overpowers all of these emotional loves that we have. And it feels so different that you can't wait to go pour it out on people. That's how you know you're getting agape, when you keep telling people, you should try God. Oh, my God, you should try. Oh, my Lord, this is so good. That's agape being poured in. I got any people that used to hang out in the streets? On the Bible study? Yeah, on the block, in the street, clubs and so forth and so on.
I mean, well, like, not like that, but like growing up on the, I mean, in elementary school, but like high school, no.
Okay, when you got into, when you got to be an adult, of course. Did you find yourself going to a club or two? Did you go some? Did you go to movies?
I did go to the movies, and I might have went to. I wasn't a going out type person, so I might have been out maybe once or twice.
Okay. So I bring that up because of this. If you have ever experienced going to a movie and the movie was so good you went home and told everybody, you felt something from the movie. If you went to a club and you were a female and it was all these good looking guys, you went and told your other girlfriends, girl, you need to come with me. You felt some kind of way, attraction. Oh, are you listening? Right. Yes. If so, when you experience agape, you turn around and start evangelizing and telling people you need to come to church.
Yes, hallelujah.
Because God is making you feel some kind of way.
Yes.
Is that making sense? Is this plain enough? Now, I'm feeling a certain, I see, I don't have all that anxiety I used to. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm having peace where I didn't used to have it. I'm feeling some kind of way. I'm starting to feel encouraged, and I'm feeling like I'm living and not just existing. I'm feeling some kind of way. And so as God pours that into you, that becomes agape to pour into everybody else, which is supposed to be the first level of relationship rather than all these other ones. So when I have children, I need to pour agape into my children, not my storge love, where I'm just going to do whatever they ask me to do. Because if I don't, I hope I'm making some sense. Because if I don't move with agape over my children will run over me with my love.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God. They come and start judging me. Because I didn't set, so every love that we have that is an earthly love, storge, philotia, philios, you know, love of mankind, love of self, everyone should have boundaries. Why? Mm-hmm. Until we get agape, we don't know how to use the love. The love always uses us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And then we sort of kind of, the love becomes just this overwhelming emotional connection to something without the pragmatic part of agape to come in and say, no, put the boundary around it. So even with my kids, by the time you hit 13, you better go get a paper route.
Hmm.
By the time you hit 14, you get 3 meals a day. We're at every basketball game. We bought all the books. We made sure you had a set. I better get some A's. No, don't come here with a C and a D. Something's wrong. Because there's supposed to be boundaries around this. Because if I don't set the boundary, then the child doesn't know what's going to work with me or not. Because all they're doing is working on my storge. You love me, so you should do for me. And that's not how this goes. Every love has my, let me give you an example. Spare the rod, spoil the child. What is that? A boundary.
That's the scripture that came to my mind when you was talking about that.
Praise the Lord. We connected, sister. So there's a boundary. If you love me, keep my commandments. Boundary. If someone slaps you, turn the other cheek. Boundary. Judge not that you be not judged. Boundary. God is putting boundaries around us with his love. So that the love and the relationship works well together. And when we don't allow ourselves to live out of the boundaries, then the love produces chaos even with God.
Yes.
That, I don't know if I'm making sense to you all.
Yes. And when we, with all that being said, because it's dangerous too, because we, if we love any of that, use any of this love towards anybody or anything more than we love Yah, we out of line too.
Chaos.
Yes.
It becomes chaos. Because I love somebody more than I love God, because I haven't experienced agape yet, so I don't even know how to love yet. That's what he's talking about in John. Read that scripture again, Sister Marone. Listen to the scripture.
Yes, sir. So, sorry. Let's see. God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8 says, anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love.
Hallelujah.
God loves man.
Mm-hmm. And so is he talking about storge love? I don't think so, because he knows that's going to happen when you have the child. Is he talking about brotherly love? No, I don't think so, because that's going to happen when you have people that you care for. Is he talking about self-love? No, because that's going to happen as I grow and begin to appreciate myself and sort of kind of respect for myself. No. So what love is he talking about? Agape. If you haven't learned agape, you don't know how to love.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Now here comes the here's how the chaos is reduced. Go to real quick Galatians 5:6. Go backwards just a page or so, and watch what he said. And I hope and pray that we receive this tonight, because God is really. If you understand these principles and you put them to work in your life, they'll change the world around you. I love my wife, but there's still certain boundaries around that love. For instance, she can't come through the door with 15 guys saying we came over to kiss and hug.
Mm-hmm.
She broke a boundary. Can't have that. Right? Nor can I come in with some woman on my shoulder going, hey, babe, you remember her? There's boundaries.
Yes, and I think,
and when we see love as a big bowl of caring, a big bowl of caring love, we forget about the boundaries, and that's why it becomes chaotic and painful.
Yes, sir.
Praise the Lord. Is that making sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
All right. Galatians 5:6. Everybody got it?
Yes, sir.
Now, here comes the beautiful part about learning how to use agape. Somebody read it, please.
For we through the Spirit eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. Oh, you said 6, right? 5.
Mm-hmm. Yes, ma'am.
It says
5:6.
For in Christ, Yahshua, which Jesus, neither did circumcision nor uncircumcision avail anything, but faith working through love.
Faith working with agape.
Hmm.
When I couple faith and agape, then I get back to that, that First Corinthians scripture that says love never fails. Then the love begins to actually produce what I was trying to produce when I was just working with those other 6 kinds of love. Agape allows the faith and the love to work together. Is anybody getting this?
Yes.
Amen.
Agape allows faith and love to work together. Agape and faith together will heal folks. Agape. Amen. Agape and faith together will change your family dynamic. Agape with faith, that level of love.
Yes.
Right? And that level of love is what he's talking about in Galatians, the 5th chapter, when he said these words. Ready? Go back to Galatians 5.
Mm-hmm.
This is what he's talking about when he says this. Watch this. But the fruit of the spirit of love, the fruit of the spirit is first love, then it comes joy, then peace, then you develop long suffering, you develop gentleness, goodness and in faith, and then meekness and in temperance, because against such there is nothing working against you, nothing working in the law of nature, in the whole universe that God created is working against you, other than Satan, of course, but nothing else is specifically working against you. What does that mean? That means my kid could be as wild could be. But if I learn how to use agape with faith, I'll know when to compliment him, and I'll also know when to do an open rebuke on him. Because those two things working together will get the child to start understanding mom or dad has some boundaries, and if I go outside those boundaries, I might lose this relationship. And the love of that relationship, when it's done right, no child, no man, no woman wants to lose. And let me try that again, because maybe we can get it. Maybe it's not clear. But I said to some people one time, a long time ago, I said, you know, I don't worry too much about my wife. I really don't. Mm-hmm. And the reason that I don't is not because I'm the most handsome guy in the world, because I'm so far from it. It's not because I'm built and muscular and she can't live without me. I'm so far from it. But I am sincerely a man of God. And when you know that the man in your house is going to love you and your children, that he didn't make a certain way, you ain't in no rush to get away from that. When you know that that person not only shares your pain, your tears, and your joy, but the credit card, the bills and the finances, you don't run too fast. Are you listening? You don't run too fast from that.
And
when you know that that person is on their knees day in and day out for you, who runs from that? Am I talking to anybody yet?
Yes, you are.
So rather than my children always hearing my correction or my voice, we're talking about agape, right? We're talking about the spirit of love. Rather than the children always hearing my voice as a corrective voice, sometimes they see me on my knees when they come up to leave out the door and they know I'm praying for them. Who runs from that?
Amen.
I ain't telling them about Jesus. I'm doing my best to be like Jesus right in front of them. Who runs from that?
That far.
Glory to God. Anybody listening?
Yes.
And so it's imperative to understand these are the restorative tools. It is these tools, agape, can restore your family.
Hallelujah.
I'm not talking about that emotional connection of storge. Well, I love my baby so much they know they'll stay with you. They'll still use you. They'll still work you. They still expect you to be the babysitter to the grandkids. They said, our family does not expect us to be the babysitter to the grandkids, because I told them, no, you bring them over here to be loved. You don't bring them over here to be left. Doesn't work like that. Mm-hmm. Our job is to pass knowledge into them, not to turn around and take your place for them. Are you listening? Because even that love, that storge love, has to have boundaries. And if I don't set boundaries around it, it expands and expands and expands until it's chaotic. Now the kids come. I go to the front door. Here come the daughters or the sons with the kids and the babies. And we getting ready to go over here. We just dropped the kids. Not happening. You call and you get permission. Because there's boundaries. Am I making sense to anybody?
Amen.
Yeah.
And even if you feel like if my saying something like that is going to hurt their feelings, that's why faith has to work. That's why love has to work by faith. See, because I know I'm saying the right thing and I know I'm doing the right thing and I got faith that God is going to bring about the right thing, so I don't hesitate to say the right thing.
Yes.
Anybody get that?
Yes.
Yes, sir.
All right, praise the Lord. So now we're going to move on. We've got, so we talked about love a little bit. You got seven types of love that I want you to look up and begin to become familiar with, because you'll recognize as you read that stuff, you'll go, wait a minute, I've done all this and I never did it the right way. I didn't do it the way it could have been done. I did it based on that emotion, that feeling I had. My little heart was just throbbing for the person. But I didn't realize my heart needed to have boundaries, because while my heart is throbbing, somebody else is trying to figure out how to use that. They're trying to figure out how to manipulate it because they see it. Oh, you just love me to death. And so I'm gonna work you to death with the love that you have for me. But if I got boundaries around that love, I still get the same impact of being able to love them to death, but there's some boundaries over there that's not killing me.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's go on to the next one. Let's go on to, so we talked about love. Let's talk about the next fruit of the Spirit. I think, Kawanda, you had faith.
Yes, sir.
All right. Share with us what you found in faith.
Here we go. And this is what you gave us to go by. You said definition, how it works. Is it in our tag, and how are we using it? Faith. I defined faith as complete trust, confidence, or belief in a person, idea, or entity, such as Yah or a religion, often without having absolute proof of evidence, which led to the scripture, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Is it in my tool bag? And I said, yes, and becoming, because I feel like there's levels to faith. And that's the reason I said that, like, you know, sometimes not so everybody can agree, but if you can testify to this, sometimes we have faith that our faith is stronger in other areas. In some areas, faith needs to grow, you know. So I was just reminded of even my situation with my son when I was just explaining, like, you know I have faith in other areas. However, it's like, you know, when it comes to the kids, I do, with even dealing with the situation with him being in a mental institution and then coming home, that I realized that my faith has grown in that area. And like I said, you'll be tested in that situation too. You know, he'll bring it back around to see, hey, have you really grown, or have you, you know, is there support work still need to be done in that area? So that's where I find myself sometimes, because we can in faith give situations to him and then pick those things back up. You know, we'll get back in the way and find ourselves repenting, like, hey, I give it back to you if I've gotten in the way in any situation. So yeah, how I'm using it is allowing myself to totally rely and depend on Yah, because I trust him better than I trust myself.
Amen.
And that, to do that, I felt like I had to let go of those survival mechanisms, because that's what hindered in those areas. When we live in survival mode, we feel like we have to take some control over things where we didn't have support in those areas. You know, say for instance, you may not have had family to protect you, you know what I'm saying? So you become overprotective of your kids, and you can have relationship with the Most High, but you find yourself getting in his way in certain situations. That's where I was speaking about those levels of faith. Like, no, let me get my behind out the way, because I know he's omnipresent, omnipotent, everywhere.
Hallelujah.
Has my
interest at heart. And hey, I may not have been able to trust my earthly parents, but I have a father that I can fully surrender and trust wholeheartedly. And then it talks about now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So I can trust you even when when it don't look like what I think it should look like. No, but you put those conditions on how it's supposed to look as well. You know, as long as looking like how, you know, or turning out how I feel like it should turn out. Hey, you know, you really lied to yourself. Like, yeah, I got faith in that area. As soon as something look like you don't think it should look like, your faith wobbly, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It's like, no, like, hey, I trust you when it ain't looking like. And then that led me to, you know, it's bringing the other scripture to mind that we speak those things that were not as though they were. So that's how I'm operating in my faith as well. You know, so the result, the evidence may not be there, but my faith in the Most High is in following his word and believing his word, which is faith as well. That because I'm rooted and grounded in him, I'm speaking the end result and trust he's gonna deliver.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So talk about the speaking on things that are not as though they were. How are you utilizing that tool, if you don't mind sharing?
Solely by faith. It's faith. It takes faith to be able to do that, to speak those things that were not that as though they were. Like, hey, I see my son is completely, you know, it's like the truth and the fact. The truth is he's out of his mind right now, but it's not a fact that that's where he's gonna remain.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Give us an example of how you use speaking those things that are not as though they were. We're talking about
it takes right me now. Prayer to the declarations or or thanks and gratitude. Yah, I thank you that my son is healed, that he is being that he has been made whole, that he is delivered, that he is set free, that he is everything that you called him to be.
Powerful. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Speak that.
Everybody listening?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. So let's go there for a minute, right? So is it wise for us when we know, you know, maybe our kids are a little, as one of my sons used to say, OC, out of control, that we may have some children or relationship, or job, or a vision, and it doesn't seem to be manifesting a certain way, because it will steal hope from you. Do not see faith is the part that restores hope.
Yes.
And when those things are taking place around us, saints of God, it's there for Satan to use to steal hope and to steal faith, right? First hope goes, then faith goes. When you can't see, oh, I don't see how this is going to ever turn out good, that's hope going. And then your ability to call on God to fight that battle, that starts to going. Because then you stop praying about it.
Yes.
You stop fasting over it.
You
stop reading your word because you start going, somehow this is not working. So, and here's the trick of Satan to make you think it's you. Satan's trick is to make you think it's something wrong with you, because other people are getting those breakthroughs. Other people have miracles happening. Why isn't it happening for you? There's something wrong with me and God. It ain't working out with me. The devil is a lie.
Yes, he is.
The devil is a lie.
A lie.
And you have to know that, because when you walk this walk, you have to understand this is about faith working by love. Faith works by love. See, if I love someone with agape, I'm never going to give up praying for them.
Right.
If I love them emotionally, I might. Because the emotion can wane, the emotion can dwindle, the emotion, right? And we know that because how many of us have been in relationships where the emotions changed? The emotion changed. I don't feel like that like I used to. It's because it wasn't agape. And agape doesn't alter itself. Yeah. That's why God says, I'm the same yesterday, praise the Lord, today and forever. That's why in the book of Revelations, he's called the one who is, was, and is to come. Ain't nothing changing.
Oh, man.
It's going to always be God. You can't get beyond him, can't get past him, can't get around him, can't throw nothing at him. None of that works. And so the objective of the enemy is to steal your faith by stealing your hope. And hope comes from things seen. That's why faith is the substance of things hoped for, even when there's no evidence of things seen. That's why it's put that way. He's just simply saying faith goes beyond the hope.
Yes, hallelujah.
It goes into a trust level. Faith moves to a trust level with God. I don't need to know how you're going to do it. In fact, 90% of the time, whatever God does, it ain't going to look like what you wanted it to, and it's going to always be bigger than you thought.
Yes, hallelujah.
Amen.
It ain't going to never look like what you thought it was going to look like, and it is always going to be bigger than you thought.
That's good.
And it's another thing that stands out to me, Apostle, when we're dealing with that too. It's not in our timing. He said our ways are not his and our thoughts. And it's definitely our time either. Our time is not his time. And, you know, we may want something to happen to ease us, but he wants them to learn something. The test is for them to get something. And we making it about us.
Oh, that's big. I don't know how many people can confess to that one, but I know I can.
Me, I can.
I've certainly done it. Yeah, I've certainly done it.
I'm doing it now.
Making it about us.
All right, so let's go on to the next one. Thank you. Thank you, Sister Hawanda, and thank you, Sister Marone. You all did a wonderful job. Let's go to Meek. The one wasn't ready for meekness. Let's go to Sister Nicole.
I got it now, Pastor.
You ready now?
I am.
All right, praise the Lord. Let's
strength,
go.
Strength under control and gentleness and trusting God.
So meekness is strength, being under control with meekness by trusting God.
Yes.
That's good.
Ain't that bad?
Yes, very good.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So say it one more time. Meekness is what?
Strength under control. Gentleness and trusting God.
That's so
gentleness
good.
And trusting God. Glory to God.
Yes,
so on the meekness subject. He's saying, look at what he's saying, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness. So in order for the power of God to move and work through our life, these are the tools that must be in the tool bag. Because the tools we brought into the kingdom are not kingdom tools. No. I brought in anger, frustration. I brought in cussing and fussing. I brought in talking slick. I brought in being hip. I brought in my need for money. I brought in a lot of things into the kingdom in my tool bag. I brought in neediness and greediness. Hold on for a minute. I brought in some stuff when it came. I mean, I can't begin to tell you all before I got saved how many churches I went to go get food vouchers, to go get this. Now, listen to me good. I was a healthy, mentally healthy, physically healthy human being, and I'm running from church to church going, let me get one of them $20 food vouchers. Mm. Are you listening?
Wow. Yes, Lord. Yes.
I brought in greediness.
Mm-hmm.
I brought in neediness. I didn't bring in meekness.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't come in saying, change me, Lord. I came in going, how you gonna pay me, Lord?
Mm-hmm.
How are you gonna help me, God? Mm-hmm. I didn't bring in, how do I help you? Mm-hmm. What can I give back? I didn't bring those things into the kingdom, and those are the fruits of the Spirit, and things begin to work out when we go to the tool bag and say, what did I bring in? And is this a tool that God is willing to use?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, come on.
Does that make sense? Because my tool bag is the... Somebody explain to me what we think, what I mean when I say my tool bag. Please explain it.
What we carry with us in our everyday living.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That the spirit that we need to make it through basically the day.
The things that we're using to get through the day, you said, Nakobe, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right. What did you say, Sister Wanda?
I was thinking about the fruit of the spirit, the things we carry, the things that we embody.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Pastor. Mm-hmm. Baggage.
Baggage.
Yep.
So I'm going to take the two things that the Holy Ghost just said through the mouth of Nakobe and the mouth of Hawanda, and they too should make some sense. Nakobe said the things that we use to get through day to day. Hawanda said the fruits of the Spirit. If we're not using the fruits of the Spirit, the things we're using are baggage. There's stuff that's left over from the life that we came in with and not the life that God is giving us. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. And the reason that becomes important, family, is that your tool bag is you.
Yeah.
Yes, what you embody.
Yes, ma'am. It's what you embody, what you believe in, how you feel a situation should be handled. That's what's in the tool bag. And until we start replacing the old tools with the new tools, take out some of the old ones, bring in some of the new ones. See, I can take loudness and turn it into a quiet spirit.
Mm-hmm.
I can exchange those two. God will let me. I can take anger and exchange it for peace. God will allow me to do that. I can take anxiety and exchange it for prayer. That's why the Bible says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things through prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. I can take everything I'm worried about and turn it into prayer, and I just changed what's in my tool bag.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
So our tool bag encompasses, and the beautiful part about our God, I think, family, is that God allows you to see what you built and what the house looks like based upon the tools that you have. So when there's chaos, confusion, and pain all around, he's telling you this stuff in the tool bag. It's not a judgment from God. It's an acknowledgement from God to let you see you need to exchange out some tools. That's all it is. It's just some shit.
Yes, yes.
Your tree is known by the fruit that it bears. So if my tree, which is my house, my family, my growth, my vision, because sometimes your vision is hindered by the tools in the tool bag. You can want something, but because the tools of knowing how to accomplish are not in the tool bag, the want stays and the tools are not there to build what you see.
Yeah.
Anybody listening?
Yeah.
Where God is a vision-oriented God, that's why he said your young men will dream dreams, your young women will prophesy, speaking into existence those things that are supposed to take place. You should be prophesying. That's speaking on things that are not as though they were, right into your life, your children's life. See, it's one thing for my son to walk through the door and I say, what you've been doing all day. And it's another thing to say, man, I'm proud of you. I know you had a, did you have a great day? Tell me about it.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Really? Oh, you did all that? Mm-hmm. Wow, look at your growth. I remember when you would handle that this way, and now you're doing it that way. You got doctor, lawyer, politician. You got stuff written all in your life, man. Go be it.
Yes.
See, now I'm prophesying rather than destroying his nature and his spirit with my own words. Can I take that deeper?
Yes, sir.
I don't know how many of you came up in households like I grew up in, but I came up in some households where kids were called nappy-headed Negroes. I came up in some houses where kids were told, boy, you dumb as a box of rocks. I've been around some folk that sat back and said, you ain't gonna never be nothing. You're too stupid. You know what? You don't know what you're doing. That anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes, sir.
And sir, they were prophesying right into your own destruction, and they were putting tools in your tool bag without your permission, and God is saying, you now have permission to take them tools out and replace them with the right tools.
Amen.
Replace them with the right tools.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. And so relationships, whether it's husband, wife, whether it's mother, daughter, father, children, right? Because we talked about those seven types of love. All of those loves have to be tempered by agape. Because if you don't have agape, when your significant other gets on your nerve, you'll be running out for another significant other.
Yeah.
But when you got agape, you recognize, hey, maybe she wasn't getting on my nerves. Maybe my nerves were bad. And maybe I should go in and sit back and have a conversation. In fact, maybe I should apologize. Yeah. And and by the way, if I was doing the right thing, God will convict them and they'll come and apologize to you.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, right? They'll come to you and go, oh, you know what? I shouldn't have said that. I'm so sorry. You know what? I was bothered. I was a little overwhelmed, and I don't know what I was thinking. And that's why these tools, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance, against them there is no law. Because they allow God to operate within side of the parameters of the life, of the kingdom life you have. You take these tools out, and it takes God out of being able to operate. Does that make sense?
Yes, sir.
So I think the next one, who had the other one? I think Nicobe had goodness.
Yes. So in the Bible, goodness is often described as characteristic of God that should be embodied by his followers. The concept of goodness is closely related to love, kindness, and righteousness, and is often portrayed as an ESSENTIAL.
Essential
element of a holy and victorious life.
Mm-hmm.
So goodness is essential, they're saying, to having a holy life.
Mm.
Is that what they're saying?
Yes.
Okay, do we agree?
Yes.
Okay, so here's my question on this one. So we're talking about goodness now, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what happens when goodness becomes the rug that people throw over you to just walk over you with?
Mm.
Is it now essential for holiness?
Mm.
Mm. They take that glitter and walk over you with it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happens when they walk over you and treat you like the floor rug?
Yeah.
We're still supposed to have that same goodness.
You still what?
Supposed to have that same goodness.
Okay, explain that, Matt Kobe. Please, what do you mean by that? It's how would you use it?
Like a person spoke to me and slapped me and I turn the other cheek. So if you taking my kindness for weakness, so I'm gonna treat you the way you treated me, that's not gonna help me.
No situation.
When I could just keep my goodness and keep my faith and pursuing what my walk with God and just pray for you.
Okay. And stay away from you.
Yes.
Pray for you, stay away from you, right?
Yes.
Because goodness can be very easily identified. It's an identifiable trait. People see it. And the strange thing about it is Satan sees it faster than the people do. And so he'll send folk that will rob through goodness. And so this is why, let's go back to Ephesians 6:1, and we'll be closing out shortly. This is why this is here. Look at what it says. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in a fault, you which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering that self. Consider you in what you're doing. How far can I go? How far should I go? And certainly, how far should I let them go? And this is why love has to have boundaries. Because when you don't know the boundary, you will shift it yourself. Somebody comes in and does something, you know you ain't for it, and you told them, you got to go with that, or I'm not with that, please leave, and so forth and so on. Then you go sit down and your goodness kicks in, and you go, maybe I should have let them. You know what? I could have helped. Maybe I should. And so the $50 you didn't have just went into their pocket because you went and took goodness and you put goodness at stake without agape. Because real agape would have said this to us. And I want you to listen really well. Someone comes to borrow $50. If remember the word philautia, self-love?
Yes.
Be careful of your own self-love, because when we give, sometimes we give out of self-love and not out of selfless love or God-satisfying love. And what I mean by that is sometimes we're doing it because of what the people think, how they'll feel, and if you ain't careful, even what you think you'll get back. And so goodness can trick you into doing some things if you don't have the proper healthy self-love. Because self-love would say, you need the $50, I've got the $50, but why would I make you beg? When I could have said to you, why don't you come over and wash the dishes, do this and do that, and then after you finish up those chores I gave you, I'll give you the $50. That way you didn't have to beg for it. You don't have to walk away a little shrunken because you've been begging, and you earned what I gave you. And the other side of the wisdom of it is if they won't come sweep the floor, and ain't nothing wrong with them. If they won't come wash the dishes, ain't nothing wrong with them. Even if you don't need any help at the house and you told them, go over to your neighbor's house and pick up the yard and I'll give you the $50. You still learned who was trying to use you now and who's using your goodness, because a lot of people will tell you, I ain't feeling like that. Oh, I ain't feeling that. Excuse me? What you just told me is you won't work for the money that you need. Hallelujah, somebody. You just told me, without you knowing it, you will not work for, because I told you I was going to give it to you. You don't have to borrow it. That also told me that you wouldn't go pay it back when you got it. Are you listening?
Yes.
Yeah.
You also told me you'd have never paid this money back, because unless you were coming back for a larger amount the next time. Right? Because all I said to you was, go do something to earn so you don't have to beg, so you keep your self-esteem intact.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Make sense?
Amen.
So as the people of God, we are to use the fruits of the Spirit in order to help restore. Mm-hmm. But in order to restore, you have to make sure something was already there worth restoring.
Yes.
Praise the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So we studied seven types of love, right? We wrote them down. I'm going to ask everybody to look that up. And then next week we're coming back. We're going to go through Galatians 6, one scripture at a time, and we're going to talk, because there's some powerful stuff here, like this one. Verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. Well, how far does that go? And in doing so, you fulfill the law of Christ. Watch what he says in verse 3. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceives himself. He's talking about delusional people. And there's a lot of them around us. Sometimes we're delusional. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Delusional? Yeah, I'm buying me another house. Yeah, don't have the money to pay for the one I got. That's a little delusional.
Yes, it is.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, go get the first one first. Be a good steward over that, right? Verse 4. Let every man prove his own work. The tree has to be known by the fruit it bears. I can't help to save other people when I haven't mastered my own salvation.
Woo, come on.
Amen.
Does that make sense? That's what he's telling us. No. Let this make sense for your life. Then you go out and make sense in other people's lives, because you'll know the pathway, because you took that path to get there. And here's the funny part. God being the same yesterday, today, and forever, every pathway ends up in the same place. It starts differently, but it ends up in the same place with a relationship with Christ that is such a blessing. You wouldn't trade it for money, silver, gold, for cars, for women, for men, for dogs, for cats, for a new house. You wouldn't trade it for a thing, because it starts in one place, but every one of them end in the same place.
Come on.
Amen. We got it?
Yes, sir.
So we're going to read this next week. I want you all to pre-read it. When we come back next week, we're going to talk about that. We're going to read one scripture at a time, and we want to discern, what does this mean? How do I use this and put it into my tool bag to understand how I should function? Praise the Lord.
Yes. Amen.
Awesome. All right. Closing thoughts. Oh, tonight, did we get anything? Did anybody get anything that they can take with them and use as a tool?
Yes, I did.
Yes, sir.
Okay, go ahead, Matt Kobe. Share what you got.
Just learning about my faith, like she said, like I got faith and things like that. But like with everything that's been going on with my kids and things, like it's not that I try to, I don't be thinking I'm trying to do God's job, but I realize, like, behind all of this, like, you know, if you got faith in him, then what are you doing? You got to let that be.
Yeah.
Give it to him and let it stay there.
Woo. Come on.
So, yes, tonight was definitely stepping on toes over this way. And I've been praying about it, you know. That's all I can do.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, one step at a time.
Is it hard? Yes, it is.
Yes.
Come on. One step at a time.
Yep. I just need to get my faith stronger and put my kids really for real in God's hands. And if I trust him and believe in him, I have to believe that and leave it there.
Amen.
And my kids are grown. You know, I think it's just the fact that I lost my mom at about their age, you know, and it's like they still got me. And I'm happy and proud to be here with them and with them to see my grandkids grow, you know. And it's just like, they've been my friends forever. They still my friends and my kids and my friends and everything. But God is my everything too. And it's not like I don't have to lead them to God. They know him. They want that. Mm-hmm. It's just the little battles that I see that I've been trying to help out with. Mm-hmm. And I just can't. I got to just let God.
Mm-hmm.
Amen.
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 Well said. Well said. And I can tell you, to your point, Nakobe, it is ultimately also very important. That's why I said it's very important that we get it first. Because once you get it, you'll find that you have the power, the authority, and the ability to sit down with your kids and be able to vividly, which means with lots of color, express how you help them to be who they are.
Amen.
You'll be able to sit down and say, I did this in front of you, I did that in front of you, I did this, this caused that. I see the whole connection. I see the whole parallel relationship between who I was and who you are. And let me share something with you. Now that I get God, we have the opportunity as a family to go together with God, or you can make a choice to keep doing what you're doing because I'm going with God and I ain't turning around. So we can either start healing together, or we can continue to try to wheel and deal together. Which one do you want?
Amen. Amen.
Does that make sense?
Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
Yes, sir.
But it's important that you heal, because when you heal, you'll see how God is just amazing when it comes down to what I call a like a death to life experience, right? He's very amazing at that, because he will show you how the thing got like it was. He'll show you the journey through your Egypt.
Yes.
And you begin to see, oh, this caused that, that caused this. Oh, you know what? And the minute that you can see how it was done, that is God giving you the power to undo. So trust him. Stay in your relationship. Let the healing take place in that Kobe. Let the Holy Spirit come into your life. Ask for it. Because you only get it when you ask and you desire and you want it. Mm-hmm. And when you receive the indwelling of the Holy Ghost, I guarantee you, you'll know.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Going around the room, so Sister Hawanda, what did you receive out of tonight? Is there anything you can take with you?
Absolutely.
Thank you, Nakobe.
It was all beautiful, everybody. Great job. But what's been sticking in my head, too, is what Brother DeJuan said about meekness. The first word he gave for meek was strength, you know, and it brings me back to the saying that people say, don't take my meekness for weakness, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But people don't realize that meekness don't mean that you're weak. That's that one of that first foundational words he said. It's just, it takes strength to be meek. Let me not clap back, you know, to just be soft-spoken, be seen and not heard. That's a strength. Ain't nothing weak about it. So I just
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, that was powerful.
Amen.
They'll take meekness for weakness. Meekness for strength. Thank you. Yes. I love that.
Hallelujah.
Let's go to Sister Marone, and then we'll finalize with Brother DeJuan.
Yes, sir. Yeah, I will say thank you so much for this amazing Bible study. I'm glad to be back home and learning with you guys. Growing means the whole world to me. So a couple of things I take, but you know, God is love, and then God's love have boundary. Some of us, we don't think that way. God loves forever. I can sin, I can do whatever I want. But once we know God, the Holy Spirit, you tell us, like, hey, like, we know deep down, he's like, hey, don't do that. So, like, he's confession. Like he tell us what's right, what's wrong. So I'm thankful for God's love with boundary, because otherwise we can be the same as everybody, just sin and do nothing. But thank God for the Holy Spirit to guide us.
Hallelujah.
And direct us the right direction. And also, when you mentioned, like, when you were young, you know, I remember my teacher back in Ethiopia. They used to tell me, like, when I don't do really good in school, they just tell you a lot of stuff, like, oh yeah, you never get it, why don't you get it? And then they usually spank you and everything, and then you believe those experience when I was young. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, oh my goodness, I think there's something wrong with me. So mm-hmm. I feel like it's really good for us to motivate young children, you know. They might not be good on one subject, but it doesn't mean they're not good at it. They're really gifted at it with too many subjects. God is you know, amazing God. So just not to lose that, like, that, hey, maybe the teacher might not see me that way, but I know God sees me more than, I mean, more than unconqueror. I'm more than smart, more than everything he made me to be. So I'm made of God's image and character. So I don't have to believe my teacher. I don't have to believe even my mom or my dad. I don't have to believe anybody.
Amen.
So, once the Holy Spirit guide me, I notice, like, wow, all those beliefs I've been believing when I was young, now I've been stand free. So I feel like our generation will grow the same way, you know. When I have kids, when I have any when I'm around anybody, I tell them how good, smart they are, because they really are. They're made of God's image. So I'm thankful again, sir.
Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. That was a heart full.
Yeah.
That was well said. To your point, and I'll add on to it with this. I was a district manager for the Yellow Pages, had 17 guys on my team, and I had a co-manager who had 17 guys on his team. My team, we had four markets that we had to take care of: Janesville, which was a Rock County phone book. Mm-hmm. We had Madison, the Dane County phone book. We had Jefferson County phone book, which is Watertown, Whitewater, those areas. And then we had Sauk County, which is Baraboo, so forth and so on. And we each managers had objectives that corporate would give us. And they would say, you've got $3 million worth of revenue in that book. We want you to bring back $3,700,000 for the following year. So that means that each team of 17 reps and manager were responsible for that $250,000 or $350,000 each, an increase.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Whenever somebody went out and did the work and they lost a customer on my co-manager's team, who was also a Christian, I want to make sure we get that part. He was a Christian by declaration. I ain't never seen Christian in him, but he was a Christian by declaration. And every time his team would come in, one of his team members would lose an account, and the people would go, no, I don't want to be in the phone book anymore. Mm-hmm. He would sit back and say, listen, this team is full of winners. We don't do losers here.
Uh-oh.
We don't do losers. And we need you to get it. You need to go practice your craft. You need to do this. You need to do that. And if that person lost too many accounts within a week or a month, he would go, you're a loser, I'm firing you. He had sort of kind of a Donald Trump Christianity mentality.
Oh, dear.
For my team, what God had taught me to do was to encourage people. And I would say to them very clearly, you know what? You may not be good at this, but perhaps you're the best father I've ever seen in my life. Because everybody doesn't fit in every space. Every pig doesn't go into every hole.
Yeah.
And so I learned from God how to encourage people differently, just as Marone would say. I learned how to put the right boundaries around them and tell them, no, if this is not for you, it's okay. Move on to something. If it's for you, though, let's sit down. Let's work on your presentation. That's a world different from saying you're a loser. You lose three more, you're out of here. As believers, it's our job to restore.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? And in order to restore, you have to understand boundaries. We have to understand, whether it's children, whether it's relationships, whether it's jobs, you have to understand boundaries. I can't be a good worker on a job if I'm always 5 or 10 minutes late. I'm never going to, and I say this lovingly, please understand the spirit of prosperity that God has put upon your life. I'm never going to ever be truly prosperous as long as I'm still saying to somebody, give me the food stamps. And the reason why it can't happen is because I'm introducing poverty and telling poverty I want to be prosperous. The two can't live together. Hatred and love can't live in the same physical body. They can live in separate bundles. They can live in separate canisters if you want them to. So you can be happy today and hate somebody tomorrow, but you can't hate and love at the same time. We can't prosper and accept poverty at the same time. They can't work together. And I'm saying that from experience, because I spent probably 10 years, not 10 years, probably 3 years on food stamps. I was also the guy that I told you was going to the church and saying, give me that $20 food voucher. Can you give me a $20 food voucher? For years, until I got saved, and then the Lord said, what do you think you're doing?
Come on.
There's nothing wrong with you. Why would you take that? Don't you see the trap? And all of a sudden, my eyes opened, and I said, never is, now, if I got sick, if I was mentally, physically ill, and I had to do it, you have to do it. But if there's nothing wrong, if there's nothing broken.
Amen.
Yeah.
I have to accept the fact that maybe I'm not good at the last job, but the next job, I'm going to be a master of it.
Yes.
Because God made me to be good at something. That's the whole point I'm trying to make. That's why he said your gift will make room for you. He made you to be good at something. It's my job to figure out what that good thing that I do is, and then learn to bring that good thing to bear so God can bless it.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Because we're good at something. You can be good at cleaning. You can be good at cooking. You can be good at shoveling. You can be good at snow plowing. You can be good at thinking. You can be good at talking. You can be good at something. But there's no person that God ever put on the planet that wasn't good at something.
Amen.
Come on. Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. So let's close out. Brother Dewan, your closing thoughts, sir?
It was a very, very good study into tonight. Yeah, it's awesome. I loved everything about it. Yeah.
Amen.
About meekness too. Yeah.
Meekness. Yeah. You did a good job with that, Dewan. We're blessed. We're grateful and thankful. Yep. Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm going to go to Brother Dewan and say, close us out in prayer.
Hallelujah.
Please, God, send the United States, please, all these wars that are going on around the world, everything going on around, and people just need to come together and believe in something. God, of course, God, believe in God, and Jesus Christ, first and foremost, yeah? And you know, he's also on your side, no matter what. Yes. He's on the other side, no matter what. And God does anything, you believe in him and stuff like that. Yeah. God, please save the United States and save all these countries in war and stuff right now. Please, God. And save local people too, Pat. Yeah. Local people too. Yes. And it's the whole universe. Yes. Yeah. His name. Amen.
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 Amen. Amen.
Amen.
You came against the wars, you came against the foolishness, and you're hoping, praying that people will accept Christ. Thank you, Dewan.
Yeah.
It was a beautiful closing prayer. Thank you. Family, we love you all with the love of Christ, and we'll see everyone next week.
Love you all.
Yes, love you all.
Love you all.
God bless.
God bless.
Be safe.
Yeah, buddy.